HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report.
There's no crime here.
Former President Trump's reacting to testimony today from his former fixer, Michael Cohen. CBS's Katrina Kaufman's in New York.
The biggest takeaways from today are that the prosecution is tying Cohen to conversations that he had with Trump during this time period to really show Trump's knowledge of everything that was going on,
including those alleged hush payments to influence the 2016 election. CBS's Graham Cates.
He talked about several conversations that he had with Trump where Trump expressed the importance of making sure that this story was kept under wraps because they didn't want it to become part of the campaign narrative. And he described kind of getting Trump's okay to make sure that this deal went through, that he wasn't going to pay this money without Trump's approval because Trump approved everything.
Trump's denied his involvement and didn't really react much during Cohen's testimony today. He mostly kept his eyes closed. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Oral arguments are today in a state Supreme Court case that could bring absentee ballot drop boxes back to Wisconsin this year. 2 years ago, the court's former conservative majority ruled nothing in state law allowed for absentee drop boxes anywhere other than local clerk's offices. The August primary is 3 months away. Microsoft's president says the infrastructure in Racine County met for Foxconn played a role in its decision to invest $3 billion in a new AI data center.
No doubt. We are the beneficiaries of that earlier effort. You know, the land that was initially acquired that we're now able to buy, even the electrical infrastructure.
Brad Smith speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front after President Biden's visit last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Menominee Police Department is looking for a suspect involved in an armed robbery at a local shop on Friday. According to law enforcement authorities, the Circle C and Deli on Broadway Street was reportedly robbed around 9:30 on Friday night by a suspect carrying a machete. The suspect allegedly pointed the knife at the clerk and took the cash from several registers before fleeing the scene. Authorities are looking for any information about the incident and the identity of the suspect, who was wearing a mask, in security footage. Congressman Derek Van Orden was in Eau Claire last week to host a roundtable discussion on the healthcare situation in the Chippewa Valley. The roundtable included elected officials and representatives from Oakleaf, Mayo, and Marshfield and covered issues like a lack of available psychiatric beds and the $15 million of emergency funding that is currently held up by the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Congressman Van Orden plans to introduce a bill to extend telehealth services for qualified health centers. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers take on the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Pittsburgh Pirates and Brewers tonight at AmFam Field. Yesterday, the Brewers losing 4-3 to the Cardinals. That ends Milwaukee's 8-game winning streak over St. Louis. Christian Yelich with a pair of hits after missing much of the past month with a sore back. Manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, Yelich's performing. You know, I don't know how many games he's played so far, but whatever they are, he's rarely been overmatched and rarely been beaten, so to speak. Yeah, he's really been on it. Swinging the bat great. His timing's great. They're trying to pitch around him, and he's still hitting.
Hockey, the Milwaukee Admirals skate to a 5-3 win over Texas, eliminating them from the playoffs. Up next, the Admirals host the Grand Rapids Griffins Wednesday night in Game 1 of a 5-game series. Sundance Wicks is leaving the men's basketball program at UW Green Bay after just one season. He met with officials over the weekend to become the next head coach at Wyoming, his alma mater, and where he began his coaching career. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the mid-40s. Sunshine's back tomorrow, nice day with highs in the low 70s. A mix of sun and clouds, chance of storms late Wednesday, high mid-70s. Shower and thunderstorm chances continue Wednesday night, and a slight rain chance for Thursday. It's 71 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We're going to have policy arguments for the rest of time. But at base, I want my president to be a decent person. I firmly believe that Joe Biden always is trying to do the right thing, that he is a decent man. And in sharp contrast, we've got a man who thinks it's a good thing that stars get to commit sexual assault. And we know that because he said it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Next up on The Maggie Dawn Show, if you thought you were afraid of a second Trump presidency, I've got Trump's wish list of Supreme Court nominees. You won't want to miss it.
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday Happier Happy Hour. And Dom, A, welcome back, and B,
yeah,
I love the trickle out of the evidence. I want to bring you and the audience's attention to two specific pieces of evidence offered today in the Trump hush money trial. Let's call them Exhibit 35 and Exhibit 36. And the commenter here is Andrew Weissman. He was part of the special counselor's team, the Mueller team, during the, you know, let's call it the impeachment trial. But Exhibit 35 is a copy of an October 16th, 2016, wire transfer from Cohen's account to Keith Davidson. I think I misdescribed him before. Keith Davidson is Stormy Daniels' lawyer. He was also the lawyer of Karen McDougal, if I remember correctly.
Correct, yes.
And a handwritten note, along with Exhibit 35, which was a wire dom, a $50,000 payment for text services. Exhibit 36 shows a handwritten note on Trump stationery with Cohen's name on the top and the math calculating payments and taxes, prosecutor said Monday. That might be the back of the envelope as I described it, but I didn't realize this was a new piece of evidence presented. Let's call it Exhibit 36, Dom. Here's the interesting part. Weissman, the legal analyst over on the MSNBC, called these two documents devastating. You have these two internal Trump Organization witnesses who have written these things. The reason it's so devastating with respect to the scheme is this is supposedly legal fees. But it doesn't make any sense because Exhibit 35 is the actual payment record that Michael Cohen brings to Ellen Weisselberg that shows that this is $130,000 that he wired to Stormy Daniels' lawyer. He called it the hush money record.
He literally called it that.
Weissman then urged those following the case not to dismiss what appeared to be a dry day in the Trump hush money trial as insignificant. It might be a boring day, but this is such hard evidence. It's the kind of thing that prosecutors in summation are going to latch onto and make sure the jurors understand how preposterous it is. According to Weissman, the two documents stand in direct contrast to the argument Trump's lawyer Todd Blanche made in his opening statement that Cohen was not reimbursed for the hush money. Look at the document, Weissman says. Look at Exhibit 35 and 36. Wallace then argued. Wallace, the host on the MSNBC, Nicole Wallace, then argued time spent impeaching Cohen as a character witness could only take the defense so far. New York University law professor Melissa Murray agreed. You can't impeach the documents.
Yep.
That's what makes the documents the star witness. Again, not the way Fox News will describe it, but the documents are damning. Here's the paper trail of the hush money and the wire transfer. Only I called it tech services, but when I took to Weisselman, the CFO of the Trump org, I called it the stormy hush money. Ooh, that's going to sting a little.
That's got to hurt just a little bit. The hush money record, the $50,000 in quote unquote tech services. That seems problematic.
844-967-2789. I feel like we're ignoring our vibrant audience of court observers and Wisco Pauls. How you doing, Paul? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Paulie.
Hi, good afternoon, Devils. Great show today. Boy, that's a heck of a trial. I don't know how he gets out of this, but sometimes I wonder how anybody or certain people become senators, and I look no further than Wisconsin. I look at Rojo. So that kind of explains Tim Scott there. But look what Pence did. He sucked up to Trump for 4 years. Actually, it was longer than that, and did whatever he wanted to, kissed his butt, if you will. Okay. And it had to be a hard thing to do, but at the end of the day, after Pence did all this for Trump, what'd they do? Because he wouldn't commit treason, they built a gallows to hang the man, G6. Why would anyone in his right mind sign up for that kind of job? I have to ask you. I mean, would you work for the – I wouldn't go to work for the Devils if I just kissed up to you and they go, hey, we don't like what you said.
Hang Wisco Paul!
Yeah, Jesus.
That'd be dissuading, anyway, I'd think. Hey, who wants this job next? Not me!
How bad do you need a job? I mean, Oh, for goodness sake. And that goes for most of his former cabinet. When you look at these guys, one of them called him a dumb SOB. The list goes on and on. So anyway, that's
But Wisco, you understand for me. How close, how tantalizing for the very ambitious political sorts. I mean, this is one step away from the most powerful office in America. And when the boss is got 88 criminal felonious indictments out there around the nation, and the guy's like one Big Mac away from the big one, you know, I mean, it might be tempting to go along just for a bit and see how things worked out, Wisco. You know what I mean?
You know, Paulie, he's got a point, but you know, who wants to be the next drummer in Spinal Tap? You know, it never ends well.
That's too funny. Hey, what do you want to sell yourself for? I have to ask. How bad do you really need a job?
It might be worth selling your soul for rock and roll, but not the vice presidency, Wisco.
All right.
Thanks for.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And a brief line of lullaby just occurred to me for Donald Trump. Hush, little Trumpy. You don't need to say a word. Evidence is going to sing like a bird. I mean,
yes, it
is just the documents are now singing loudly, 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 and Donald Trump will open his mouth again, and he cannot help himself, but he will be, you know, violating the gag order once again, and it is just shocking these people that are still going along with Donald Trump. I mean, that your duty, you know, Tim Scott just violated his oath to the Constitution because his oath is to the Constitution, and he should actually—he should have actually.
His said, oath is not to tell the truth on a Sunday show, though. I mean, plenty of politicians go on Meet the Press and lie. Look at Ron Johnson; he was on there frequently.
But I mean, if I was running against him, I'd say this man will not come out and actually say I uphold the rule of law. He's upholding Donald Trump as some kind of.
No matter what happens, Rick Scott thinks that Donald Trump will be the 47th president of the United States, period.
Doesn't Would you want to be that close to the man and be on his retribution list? If he wins the presidency, he might start building his own gallows with other people's money, of course.
Well, we're already on the retribution list, I'm afraid, that because we have people out there that are pretty willing to denounce us for criticizing Donald Trump for the past 6 years or 8 years. As long as he's been in office. So,
how dare we? How dare we hold somebody accountable for their behavior and their words? I can't imagine that would ever happen in any kitchen table or bar or ball game around the world ever. Give me a break. This is humanity. We should make exceptions for a guy who's barely human. Thanks for the call, Mark. We got one other one. The other vice president, you know, the Veep Stakes is going on, right, Mark? We got this one. Kristi Noem. Now she might have
self-immolated. She might have burned down her candidacy and her chance at the VP.
Apparently, she's very popular among world leaders. If you have that one, Rich, just play the Kristi Noem also on the Sunday shows.
Talk about meeting some world leaders and one specific one. Quote: I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. I've been a children's pastor, after all. Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
Well, you know, as soon as this was brought to my attention, I certainly made some changes and looked at this passage. And I've met with many, many world leaders. I've traveled around the world.
She's the voice of her own audiobook.
To my attention, we went forward and have made some edits. So I'm glad that this book is being released in a couple of days and that those edits will be in place and that people will have the updated version.
So you did not meet with Kim Jong-un. That's what you're saying.
No, I've met with many, many world leaders. Many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. I think I've talked extensively in this book.
I have many, many leather-bound books.
My time serving in Congress, my time as governor, before governor, some of the travels that I've had. I'm not going to talk about my specific meetings with world leaders. I'm just not going to do that. This anecdote shouldn't have been in the book, and as soon as it was brought to my attention, I made sure that that was adjusted.
Except she already did the audio on the audio book, which includes her telling this story.
Who makes something like that up? And who can't just say, oh no, man, that never should have got in there? You know, I mean, what? She can't even say. I mean, that her and Rick Scott, these are your vice presidential candidates. So here's
don't forget JD Vance. He's similarly detestable, but please continue.
Once Trump goes away, and eventually he will go away one way or the other, you know, the world turns. We got folks like Tim Scott and Kristi Noem to pick up the mantle. Don't we have that to look forward to? That's great. Great. It'll all be fine. Don't worry about a thing.
They don't turn them out like Trump does. I am not, at this point, I am not worried about the next generation of Republicans. It's this generation I've got big issues with. We'll see what the future holds. I can't see past the next commercial break, dumb. I'm not even supposed to say that word. And look at... I'm under gag order and I broke it. I could go to jail. 844-967-2780.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did. We proudly announced the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at herbalaspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from HerbalAspect.com. Code Devil Radio. DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever, only at the DevilRadioSwag.com, because we got bills too.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. An emergency fund is a special kind of savings you set aside for emergencies and emergencies only. Who should have one? Everybody. And why should you have one? In a word, security. Did you know that today, more than half of the adults in America, 147 million of us, can't even afford a $1,000 emergency? I recommend socking away at least $1,000 and eventually building up to 3 to 6 months of household expenses. You want to keep your emergency fund somewhere easy to access, like a savings account, and not in the stock market, thank you very much. Look, we can't avoid bad things happening, but we can work to make sure that when that never-gonna-happen-to-me thing does happen to one of us, we are as financially prepared as we can be. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money help, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY to 88285. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 88285. Till next time, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates Radio Show. No malarkey here. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, Fox News Digital, Foxy News, my source.
You keep going there, man.
Rolling, I am a mass consumer of media. I try to gobble it all up. I read everything. I'm like Sarah Palin. Dom, Rolling Stone's Mick Jagger, according to the Fox News Digital, claims Louisiana governor trying to take us back to the Stone Ages. Now, apparently the Stones had a concert, and Rolling Stones frontman Mick Jagger ignited a small feud between himself and the Louisiana governor last Thursday while performing in the state. The 80-year-old British singer, that guy is still rocking at 80. Don't tell me Joe Biden can't do it. And his band performed at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival to a sold-out show. After finishing the song, "You Can't Always Get What You Want," Jagger called out Governor Jeff Landry by name. And I would point out, Dom, and this will be pertinent to this article, Donald Trump is still using "You Can't Always Get What You Want" as of last week, Wednesday, in Waukesha.
He's been burning that record since he started running in 16.
I noted he played Michael Jackson, Little Michael Jackson, "I'll Be There." That seemed like a new one to the playlist. You know, it's hard to refuse when you're dead. Surprised I did hear some Elvis. That made sense. But he also played the Rolling Stones. And I don't know if you noticed, but Mick Jagger ain't dead yet. He's got the moves like Jagger. So Jagger says, "We're a welcoming crowd, aren't we? I hope Mr. Landry is enjoying the show. He's real inclusive, you know. He's trying to take us back to the Stone Age." That's what Mick Jagger said. Shortly after the comment, the Republican governor responded on the social media, the Twitterverse, Dom, appearing to mock the singer as well. That's always a smart thing to do, mock Mick Jagger. "You can't always get what you want," he posted on Twitter. "The only person who might remember the Stone Age is Mick Jagger. Love you, buddy. You're always welcome in Louisiana. Hashtag love my country music." I don't know if you know this, Dom, but Jagger and the Stones have asked Trump not to use their music. But let me get back to the Fox News Digital coverage. Though Jagger did not elaborate, Landry has supported several conservative policies since his inauguration in January, such as enacting more tough-on-crime legislation, as Fox News calls it, and enshrining constitutional carry into law. Landry also indicated that he would support bills that previously were vetoed by former Governor John Bel Edwards, a Democrat, such as the one that would prohibit gender identity discussion in the K-12 schools. Well, that might be what he's referencing. And oh yeah, to require teachers to inform parents about students changing their pronouns. You know, narc them out to their parents, Dom. And though Landry might get away with referencing the iconic, you can't always get what you want. Not all politicians have escaped scrutiny. In 2016, Dom, 8 years ago, the Rolling Stones demanded then-candidate Donald Trump stop using this song during campaign rallies as well as Start Me Up. And when he continued to use the song in 2020, the band finally demanded legal action in partnership with BMI, the music licensing group, Dom, a performing arts rights organization. They're the ones you mail your royalty checks to. The BMI have notified the Trump campaign on behalf of the Stones that the unauthorized use of their songs will constitute a breach of its licensing agreement. If Donald Trump disregards the exclusion and persists, then he would face a lawsuit for breaking the embargo and playing music that has not been licensed. Mick Jagger, I am your witness. I was at the Waukesha rally last Wednesday. They played it. I heard it. Sue his ass. This is 2024.
Maybe they're paying the BMI, man. I mean, you know how licensing, like BMI and ASCAP and
Rolling Stones don't need Donald Trump's money.
They're very, very specific if you put something, a licensed music up on a social media site. So I wonder if like the Trump campaign site is still, playing that music.
Well, I don't know about the campaign site, but when he actually goes to the rallies where the people are in attendance.
Yeah, if you're presumably those are being streamed. They're being streamed somewhere as well, right? Yeah, of course they are. They're on YouTube. They're on whatever their streaming services are.
Yes.
Those things. And if you're playing that music there, well, we know from our own experience that those things can get locked up and shut down real quick by those licensing agencies.
844-967-2789. L.A. Tom from the Leftist Coast. What do you got for us, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. First off, we the people, ultimately are the government, and that means all of us, and we should never forget that. Second, why are these people such losers? They're just...
Are we talking about Dom now, Tom?
You're talking about the vice presidential candidates?
No, Dom's my hero. You are too, Crudy, but we're talking about Kristi Noem. She sounds like she must have fell down off her, fell on her head as a baby, just like Scott Walker. Scott Walker saying, I took over, or I stood up to all those teachers in Wisconsin. And she's saying, I've met many leaders, born leaders. It's like these people need to get a different script. And I just want to say to all of the Republican people out there that vote, really and truly, look at yourself and know that you're not a loser. But the people that you are actually supporting are losers. Like they couldn't even make it in high school, for God's sakes. They're such losers. And the thing is, remember, whatever the Republicans in power are saying, whenever they say anything, whenever you see a commercial, whatever they're spewing, they're doing it. And just remember, it's a mirror up to them. It's called projection. But for those that don't know projection, if they're spewing it, they're doing it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Be well, Tom.
Hey, Tom, appreciate you, brother.
They're spewing it. They're doing it. Here's the crazy thing.
It's accepted of meeting Kim Jong-un. I mean, she literally wrote in her book, I stared the little tyrant down and I had all these little, catechism classes or whatever she's talking about. Number one, terrible analogy. And number two, well, I mean, you don't make something like that up. It's not like you can stroll in and see the North Korean despot dictator on a whim.
Dominic, until last week, the worst I could say about Kristi Noem is that she apparently had an extramarital affair widely reported with Corey Lewandowski. Now that's the third worst thing on the list. Come back, more Devils.
Can't wait for next week.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The No Labels Party will not appear on Wisconsin ballots this fall. The No Labels movement has failed to find a candidate for president. The Wisconsin Elections Commission meets tomorrow and will take up a request by No Labels to be removed. That's even though the group turned in more than twice the number of valid signatures to get on the ballot. A new poll shows rural voters agree with many Democratic policy positions but think Republicans are doing more for working people. The group Breakthrough Campaign says rural voters will be a crucial demographic in the presidential election.
There are enough voters in rural areas of battleground states who are up for grabs to determine the outcome of 2024.
Patrick Toomey helped conduct the Breakthrough Campaign's poll. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The YMCA of the Chippewa Valley is holding a clothing drive until this Friday to benefit the Eau Claire Area School District Closet and the Homeless Program. According to a press release, the Eau Claire Downtown YMCA will be accepting new clothing and hygiene product donations. Officials say there is an urgent need for new socks and underwear for all sizes, as well as a variety of hygiene products like toothbrushes, deodorant, and laundry detergent. Donations can be dropped off at Entrance D of the Graham Avenue location. A public hearing on potential increases to the water rate in Altoona was held on Thursday. According to a WQOW report, the Altoona Municipal Water and Sewer Utility has filed an application to increase the rates with the State Public Service Commission. If approved, Altoona residents would pay an average of $32 more each quarter. No residents spoke against the rate increases at the meeting, but one did submit a public comment speaking against the increase. Public comments will be accepted until Monday. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Whoopi Goldberg tried to cast Pope Francis in Sister Act 3. The 68-year-old host of The View said she offered the Pope a role in the film when she met him last October. Goldberg talked about the Pope's acting chops. Goldberg talked about how much she liked the Pope because he is inclusive, adding that the Pope said he would get back to her. Classic Hollywood jargon. As progressive as the Pope seems, do not expect him to appear topless unless you want to pay him a lot more. Oscar-winning screenwriter Paul Schrader's hitchhiking days might be over. Schrader, who wrote Taxi Driver and Raging Bull, recently attended a party at director Martin Scorsese's house. While attempting to pet one of Scorsese's dogs, the dog not only bit his thumb off, but ate it. Not a good injury for a writer. That spacebar isn't going to click itself. All worked out okay because Scorsese had a nurse on site. No word yet on if the thumb was able to be reattached or how long they had to wait for the dog to, well, you know. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the mid-40s. Sunshine's back tomorrow, nice day with highs in the low 70s. A mix of sun and clouds, chance of storms late Wednesday, high mid-70s. Shower and thunderstorm chances continue Wednesday night, and a slight rain chance for Thursday. Right now, it's 73.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, executive producer Luke Mathers joins us at 10:33. In hour number 2, what would a second Trump term mean for your health care? Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
There's something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Monday edition of Happier Happy Hour, rolling through a Dom. That was our first theme song, yep. Buffalo Springfield, What It's Worth.
Oh, so good.
It is such a damn good song and very political in nature. And it does harken back, reminds you a little what they say, history doesn't repeat itself, but it does echo. You know, it's interesting, and I think because of the Rolling Stone shaking a fist at, you know, the governor of Louisiana, perhaps it was that this article caught my attention. We're going to need audience participation here forward. What song or genre of music best reflects your politics? And I would say Buffalo Springfield, What It's Worth, is sort of one of those songs. But then we evolved them and Sympathy for the Devil.
It seemed more appropriate.
And it's exactly 6 minutes. A excellent length of time. Non-traditional. Doesn't play out as a single, if you know what I'm saying, Dom. But, you know, there's an interesting article. Again, our phone number, 844-967-2789. Here's the question I have. Music. What sort of music you like dictates probably what sort of political creature you are. You might not even know it.
Ah, come on. I don't know if I believe that.
Dom, I'm going to give you a little of the data. You don't have to believe me. I believe in data. And the data is spoken. Americans really love classic rock.
Yeah, baby.
I often find myself listening to classic rock, but this might surprise you.
Let's go about this for a moment now. I mean, classic rock, you know, to me is like Buffalo Springfield, the 60s, maybe some 70s. That's classic rock. You know, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses. When I listen to classic rock stations nowadays, they play Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses, a classic
those
rock.
Those songs now, are like 30 years old now, some of them, Dom.
I get it. I understand what you're saying, but that's not like, you know, that's not BTO, man. You know what I mean? That's like modern rock. Of course, that was modern rock in the 80s.
Unlike you and I, Rich has actually done some work in the industry. You were a rock jock, weren't you, Rich?
Long time.
Yeah, you got that
what
voice.
What kind of music? What, rock and roll?
No, well, it was rock. It was classic rock. And just as, I mean, I can appreciate your position, Dom. But the thing is that Guns N' Roses and all that stuff does qualify in the classic rock window because, what, Appetite for Destruction was, what, 1987? Eight?
Seven,
something like that?
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah.
Wow,
we were
man.
Young and now we ain't.
Okay, but there was already a classic rock genre in 1987. How do you throw the new 1987 classic rock in with the 67 now in 24? I'm just so confused.
You just need to expand your horizons. Nothing more. Very simple.
Okay.
You know, they actually do sort of define the classic rock genre here. Maybe in the data points now, maybe you'll understand where you fall on this chart. The guitar god genre, weirdly, widespread appeal has, of course, been the point since its birth as a 1980s radio format. It's less a style of music than a loose confederation of hoary hits. Those of us in the less than hip middle-aged masses maybe wouldn't mind hearing on the radio for the 817th time.
Yeah.
And because radio stations relentlessly appropriated fresh waves of chart toppers as they aged, classic rock defies definition, Dom. One source says it began with Sgt. Pepper by the Beatles in 1967 and ended with Fragile by Nine Inch Nails in 1999.
What, no head like a hole?
Once the mark of leather-jacketed renegade, it has become... Yeah. Anodyne soundtrack of modern life. The Rolling Stones have evolved from infamy at Altamont to ubiquity at fast casual restaurants, from Gimme Shelter to Gimme Seltzer. Yeah. It's not just polls. Maybe 15 of the 25 top-selling artists in the U.S. history would get substantial play on classic rock stations, by our count, the Washington Post. And only a handful of us are able to resist the call of the Eagles. I hate the Eagles, man. Lebowski said that. I didn't say that. Black Americans rated R&B tops. Hispanic Americans preferred Latin music. Millennials preferred pop. And Zoomers went with rap, Dom. You were big into the rap in college, I recall. Americans, well, just Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, NWA, man, before Dre. And I heard Blondie today from like 1981. What was it, Rapture?
Rapture's Delight? No, Rapture.
Rapture from Blondie. And of course, Aerosmith with Run DMC, Walk This Way, was a big crossover hit as well.
Dominic, Americans say classic rock best reflects their lives. But when YouGov, that polling outfit, asked what best represents the nation today, about 37% of those polled said rap and 36% said country. That's essentially a tie. The margin of error, 3.3 points. So, Tom, people perceive that rap and country are representative of America. And country drew its highest support from retirement age Americans. 50% of those over 65 said it was most representative, more than double the rating it got from Zoomers or Black Americans. Rap pulled its strongest support from Blacks, high earners, Millennials, and Democrats. And of course, like attachment parenting and dashboard infotainment systems, hip hop is a recent invention that suddenly became inescapable. If you asked instead what genre most represents classic Americana, almost every demographic agrees on country. The exception are Black Americans who stick with hip hop and young Americans who pick pop. Midwesterners, for some reason, lean towards classic rock.
Yeah, baby.
Now, Dom, rap and country also vie for the biggest cultural impact, with country eking out a 36-35 lead. The virtual tie causes an illuminating split nationwide with, wait for it, Dom, older, whiter, and more Republican folks leaning towards country. Ever since Beyonce made an album, that might change, though, Dom.
We'll see.
And younger, more left-leaning, and Black and Hispanic Americans picking hip-hop, so they say. And Indian alternative rockers will be crushed to hear that their chosen genres, which essentially are defined as music most people haven't heard of, wasn't the most obscure in the poll. And that sweepstakes, of which musical style inspired people to say they were not sure how they felt about it, Indy came in third. Most demographics rated world music as the most obscure. What is world music, Dom? Sounds like some stuff you'd listen. Is it? Yeah, is that world music?
As the Washington Post continues, they show the chart here. Classic rock way up there. According to the polling, 43% love classic rock. About 39%, they like it. Well, let's see. Who hates it? Oh, like 1%. Come on. Who hates classic rock? A little bit more here. Classic rock easily wins the best approval rating. As in politics, we're looking for how many people like it or love it, and then subtracting how many people dislike it or hate it to get the net approval. Pop, R&B, blues, and country all do well by this metric. Many genres do. To be honest, Americans just plain like music.
And the devil's advocates.
Unless
our approval rating, 99.9%. We're like 99.4%. You got a few.
Americans just plain like music, Critty. Unless it's punk rock. Punk's the only musical style to pull a negative approval rating, which honestly probably sounds like a badge of honor to the folks who brought you such punk classics as Killing for Jesus, Armed and Stupid, and Stealing People's Mail. Come on, who doesn't love some classic punk? Come on, people. Punk's biggest fans are by far millennials. Interesting. They give it a double. They give it double the approval rating of the next highest group, the Zoomers. Beyond the top two, the outsiders who brought you Let's Lynch the Landlord will be terrified to learn that they get their third highest rating from the highest earners, families who make what used to be called a six-figure income. But really, punk only comes out on top overall because anti-Mohawk sentiment crosses party lines. Republicans actually save their worst ratings for rap, while Democrats tend to more than dislike Christian music. I can understand that part of
Wasn't Striper like a Christian rock band once upon a time?
Metal band, yeah. To hell with the devil. Hip hop, while polarizing, enjoys immense support among Zoomers and millennials, as well as their Black and Hispanic compatriots. In particular, more than half of Black Americans say they love the genre, one of the strongest love ratings in the entire country. Other top relationships include Black Americans in R&B and soul funk, and Gen X and Midwesterners and classic rock. Punk's the worst rated genre in the South. In the Midwest, that honor goes to Latin music, presumably because the region has the nation's smallest Hispanic population by a wide margin. In the Northeast and the West, the two least rural regions by population, the worst rated genre is contemporary Christian. Contemporary Christian draws its strongest favorability from Black Americans, Republicans, and Southerners. The first group may not be surprising. Black Americans rank among the most likely to dish out positive ratings, no matter the genre. Republicans tend to be stingier. In fact, Christian music is one of the only genres that's more approved by Republicans than by Democrats. The others are country, classic rock, and gospel choir.
Yeah, I'm not buying a lot of gospel choir albums. I got to be honest. I did get my first exposure to The Clash, though, by my cousin Patrick down in North Carolina, Wilson, North Carolina. It was Christmas Day, 1982, or shortly thereafter. It was over the Christmas holiday, and Patrick took me to his bedroom, and he threw the album.
Oh, yeah.
He threw the album on the turntable and played Should I Stay or Should I Go Now? And I wore headphones, and it just filled my ears with with rage and outrage. And I got to admit, I like punk rock, Dom, much more so than the Christian contemporary. You know, I can like Jesus but hate his music, can I?
Why not? How about Die, Die, My Darling? We got to play some Misfits on the way out. Let's keep going on the lines. Music. What's the music? Does it dictate your politics? I don't think so, man. I mean, everyone loves classic rock. Dick from Madison, you're up. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Dick, you're on the radio.
Yeah, hey. Earlier you said something about you're not worried about this generation of Republicans, was it?
Yes, the next generation. They've all sold their souls to Trump. He's taken all their souls to hell with him when he goes.
Okay. Real quickly, I just read an article about all these kids that grew up, they were like middle school age, that are real into him now, that are turning 18, 19, 20, and their parents were Trumpies too, and they're down with this in a big way. Mm-hmm. Some of them are saying, we never knew any other politics but this guy. But
cult membership can be generational unless you right. drink the Jim Jones Kool-Aid, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. But where I was going to go actually was, where is the Republican Party? How do they do this? They keep finding these intellectual giants like Sarah Palin and this governor. I mean, it's amazing.
They got think tanks out recruiting them, Dick. Guys like Scott Walker.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Scott Walker. He's forming the minds of the next generation of Young America's Foundation.
Yeah, that's a scary thing, isn't it?
Well, presumably only 6 or 7 people show up to the ice cream party on campus.
Well,
so
that's true.
I'm not really worried about it.
Hey, Dick, before we let you go, musically, is there a music that sets the tone of your politics or, you know, just give us an answer, Dick.
Yeah.
Not trying to stress you on this one.
First 3 albums of Chicago.
What happened after that? They put out like 27 albums, Dick. You stopped liking them?
I know, but I love them. Seen them 12 times.
Chicago. I never would have expected that. Not even the musical soundtrack, Dick. I haven't even heard that band's name, you know, outside of the city name, but I didn't make the association Chicago. I remember like Chicago 17. That was like their 17th album, right? Perhaps they'll... Never mind. I was thinking a Green album, perhaps for their tradition of dyeing the river green for St. Patty's Day.
Man, that's the one that sticks in my head. 1970?
Isn't it 5150?
Oh, you went two?
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did. We proudly announced the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at herbalaspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from herbalaspect.com. Code Devil Radio. DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever. Only at the DevilRadioSwag.com. Because we got bills too.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around, to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between DePere and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
Radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines, 844-967-2789.
1989, that actually predates our friendship. Probably early 90s, like 91, 92, I think I met you.
Yeah.
In that time frame. What's the next concert you have tickets for?
I have something, but it's not coming to my head. I do have some tickets to see. I think
what's the last concert you saw? Can you remember that? That's also a difficult question, I realize.
It is.
Because you like to party at the concerts. I've known from personal experience.
I like all the concerts, Crudy. Who am I going to go see? The Struts. I'm going to go see The Struts at the Rave. I think in August is the next concert I have. But of course, Summerfest comes. There'll be, I think Greta Van Fleet comes in like May. Maybe I'll sneak some late tickets for that at the Forum. Summerfest, of course, in late June, early July, be a bunch of bands there. So, you know, whatever's around, man.
Live
music is the most entertaining thing ever. And short of, and I'm not a big country fan, but some of it's not too terrible. But anything live is better than the non-live.
So you're not a big fan of DJs? Because I used to be a DJ, and I think you're insulting me now.
I mean,
and Rich. You know, Rich was also a DJ.
You know, I mean, pitting in the record and hit and play is less than like.
What if I did some scratch?
That's what I'm saying, dude. You weren't scratched, and you didn't have a double.
You don't know that? Comment.
Yeah, I do. You weren't doing that. You weren't doing that. You were
down
playing
at Cheers,
like Guns N' Roses, and trying to clear the
floor. No. Au contraire, mon frère. Depends on which venue I was working. Cheers in La Crosse, down on 3rd Street, owned by Val Palin. And then also he owned the Silver Bullet, where I did play the Guns N' Roses at the teen dances, where they'd make the money on the door. And there'd be like 2,000 kids in this big warehouse-style dance place. The teen dances, I'd play the Guns N' Roses. I'd have to warn the bouncers Paradise City was coming because fights would break out. It'd be a massive mosh pit of hundreds.
Not a fight, just for the record.
No, but then fights would break out in the mosh pit.
If they can't handle the mosh pit, well, then stay out of the mosh pit.
But
no fighting in the mosh pit.
At Cheers Bar, which had a more diverse clientele, let's just say. I mean, a lot of black guys used to come in there. They had Funk Night. And a guy named Chris Black, I want to say, was, and I know another Chris Black who's not black, but this guy was. And he had this great album collection, and he did have the double turntables. But I'm pretty sure Val, and I don't mean to speak of the dead, I'm assuming Val's dead. It's been 30 years, and he was old then. But he's, like, old school racist. Like, he didn't want to hire a black DJ, I'm pretty sure, because there had been some trouble in that, and he was a little concerned about his clientele in the bar, because I know I got dragged into court a couple times as a witness to violent acts that happened on Funk Night. So he doesn't hire the actual qualified DJ. He hires the white college kid to play Funk Night in his bars.
Wow.
And I think he thought if I made it less funky, like, you know, if I was less appealing to the audience, there'd be less people there. But Chris gave me his record collection, man. So there were times I'd be playing like Cool Moe. I'd be playing stuff that I couldn't say the lyrics to in that bar without getting my ass kicked. But, you know, there was a grudging respect that at least Chris gave me the playlist. And I'd go in there and play the good stuff, whether Val liked it or not.
Or not. That's right. You show him, Crudy.
Yeah, I didn't know most of the music. I mean, this was some hardcore stuff, some of the stuff Chris had in his collection. Good stuff. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it wasn't Madonna. And on other nights that weren't Funk Night, I'd be playing Madonna.
Gotcha. Not Madonna. Madonna just did like 1.6 million people in Rio, I thought.
Yeah, Copacabana Beach. Surprised you weren't there. First concert I've heard you missing in a while. 844-967-2789. Turning our attention to Appleton. Is it Mindy or Cindy calling?
It's Cindy.
And hey, Cindy. I saw Mindy on the screen. I said, yeah, but I just saw Cindy this weekend. I bet it's Cindy. How you doing, sister?
I'm doing good, brother. Anyway, I hope your last caller was only joking when he called Sarah Palin an intellectual giant, because that woman couldn't find her way out of a wet paper bag, for God's sakes.
Well,
I think so, he was being...
It's implied sarcasm, Cindy.
Yeah.
I hope so, because, oh my God. Anyway, my music genre is like something like Bridge Over Troubled Waters, Bye Bye Miss American Pie, and anything by Arlo Guthrie. So whatever kind of music that is, that's me.
Oh, all right. Some Simon and Garfunkel, a little folk kind of stack action there, Cindy. I like that.
Yep.
Cindy, are you a Bernie Sanders fan? Because I think you share musical genres. I mean, didn't he use America by Simon and Garfunkel as his launch music in 2020, I believe?
I think he did, but I still feel the burn.
I'm still feeling the burn. He's running for re-election. 6 more years.
Oh, my God. How old is Bernie Sanders?
82.
Right now? Oh, damn.
Nobody's worried about Bernie's health, are they? I'm not worried. He's taking care of the heart thing, Cindy, and I think he's in great health. Easily serve 6 more years.
Hell, he'll be
Joe Biden might serve 6
September.
More.
He'll be 83 in September, right? So he's up this year. So, you know, add 6 to that. 89, man.
89 and doing fine. If it's Bernie Sanders. He'll announce his re-election at 89, Dom. You watch. Mark my words. If we're still doing this show, and I hope we are, we'll be talking about Bernie's re-elective campaign. But he'll be 95. Yeah, but he's still more vibrant than any of those backbenchers on the right. Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Hope you have a wonderful evening. Joe Biden coming to town on Wednesday. When we get details, we'll share them. But tomorrow, Trump's back in court. We'll be back doing what we do, laughing at his ass.
93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Wisconsin comedian Rob Breckenridge joins me in studio for some laughs, and we discuss World Cocktail Day with an expert Wisconsin bartender.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Matt Nair on Air.
Dr. Karen Tamirius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.